Hello, this is Tamiko Faison, your host for Therapy Entrepreneurs and Leaders of Color, a podcast dedicated to showcasing and supporting therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color around the world. Happy Occupational Therapy Month. It is almost the end of April. Occupational therapy is one special profession, and I am so blessed to be able to meet special people, including our guest today. I'm going to go to her bio and read her bio. Dr. Hiral Khatri, OTD, OTRL, is the owner and CEO of OT Park. I'm so interested in learning more about OT Park. I've seen posts about it on social media, so I'm excited to learn more about OT Park. It is a Bay Area-based subscription box and telehealth company for early intervention clients. How innovative is that? Dr. Khatri comes from Gujarat, India. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay. She lives with her husband, daughter, and two puppies in California, and cute puppies. She loves reading, dancing, watching movies, coffee, and a lot of social networking with like-minded people. This is my kind of person. Entrepreneurship is her forte, and she believes in bringing change through her novice ideas, hard work, and time management skills. Dr. Khatri is responsible for developing and narrating activity books for parents and caregivers so they perform developmentally correct activities with their kids. She is the founder of this kind subscription box for children ages 0 to 3 and supports thousands of families in participating in her No Screen Before Age 3 mission and involving more of them in the Do More Hands-On activities for actual growth vision. I definitely want to hear more about that mission and vision. She currently holds a leadership position at the American Occupational Therapy Political Actions Committee as the ambassador for the state of California to support and raise funds for the committee, organizing and implementing fundraising events for the PAC. She's a well-respected speaker in various conferences internationally, mainly in India, her home country. She tries to share her knowledge and expertise with the passionate occupational therapists and OT students in her home country to bring awareness and help in the enhancement of learning in the field. To her knowledge, sharing is key to brainstorm ideas and create more OT entrepreneurs in the world. And we do need more OT entrepreneurs. She continues her hard work and tireless efforts to bring change in the surroundings and also in the field of occupational therapy. Her strong ethics in diversity and inclusion for all makes her a true leader and an OT. She is an author, leader, mother, wife, occupational therapist, great friend, and someone who loves to stay connected with her roots, also known as her hometown, and help global citizens. Welcome, Dr. Khatri.
Hi, Tomiko. Thank you so much for having me.
Y'all just don't know. I am just thrilled that Dr. Khatri made herself available to talk during OT Month. And so
OT Month, everyone.
We got to celebrate OT all year long because, you know, even in 2021, there's still people that don't know about OT. So I applaud you for continuing to educate and to also spread the word in your native country in India.
Yes.
So tell us, how did you find out about OT? What made you want to go into this profession?
So I'll tell you the story about that because it's quite a story. So I was in 12th grade and in India, it's not like you go to you decide by yourself that where you want to be. Your percentage in 12th grade decide that what seats are empty for your admission. So after I received my 12th grade results, and maybe before that, I was waiting for that. My mother, she took me because she was working as a chief librarian in the Asia's biggest medical school. And she's the medical librarian. And my dad is an ophthalmologist. He's a surgeon. So I'm from a kind of a medical background. And so I always wanted to be in healthcare profession. So I took biology in my 12th grade. That's what only option we could take. But the highest percentage people goes to the MBBS, lesser goes to dental, then lesser goes to physical therapy and occupational, just like that. So it's a system over there. But yeah, so I was, of course, aspiring for the MBBS, and I actually took admission in that. So I reserved my seat there, but then I visited my mom in her library, and then she took me to the OT department over there, and I was just curious that what's going on in here. And the lady, Dr. Shah, she was there, and she explained me that how creative occupational therapists can be. I mean, so that was a setup for spinal cord injury institute, and I was pretty much fascinated by looking at how differently they were treating two clients with the same paraplegia, but they were treating them some, like, so for the one person that was a different protocol, and for other it was a different protocol and something that they were liking. So that was new to me. And then I came back home and I asked my dad that, how do you do surgery? So and he's like, whatever is in the written, and we learned that is, I was like, do you find any new technique in surgery ever, like cataract? And no, of course not, we cannot do sutures differently, right? So I was like, okay, so there is no creativity in that part, but there is a creativity in this part. So that was like a life-changing and decision-changing moment for me. And yeah, of course the credit goes to my mom. And of course, and another reason was that in MBBS I got my admission in another city, and my parents, being Indian parents, they want their kids always to stay with them. So in OT school, so I applied for the OT school, and luckily that was the first ever OT school in my state. There was no OT before. So I'm from the first batch of occupational therapy school in the state of Gujarat University. That is the largest university in of my state. And so I'm from the first batch of that, and I'm the first OT there, and I received the first rank throughout 4 years. And it was really great because I was loving it. And this is how I entered into the profession of OT, because I wanted to stay connected with the creativity, and that's how everything just set, you know, for me to be an OT.
That's a great story. Can we back up just a little bit? Did you say that it decided for you where you're going to go, like based on this placement test, right? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. And so you placed, when you said, what were those initials you said?
MBBS, that is MBBS, that is physicians that become general physicians. And so if you are in the Bachelor's of Medicine and Bachelor's of Surgery, that is what called as MBBS.
Okay, so physician. And so you qualify to be able to be a physician. And then you say, wait a minute, I don't see the creativity that I would like to see in it, you know, after seeing OT and how creative it is. How was that received when you, I know you said you give your mom credit, but you know, here is this institution kind of set up where they're saying you place here, and this is a hierarchy, right? So physician at the top. So you decide, I don't want to go to that. That's considered the top, and I'm going to go something that's less than. What did they say at the, at your institution?
I mean, that was a moment of quite a long discussion in my house, of course.
Okay.
Because being an Indian, like it's always that thought that your kids will follow, like, you know, run your parents' route. So I was like supposed to go to MBBS and then go for the ophthalmology, MD in ophthalmology, and do the clinic that my dad runs and work there and stuff like that. So, but then they're like also so great that they always respect my decisions and they listen to me like since birth. And that's how this whole leadership has grown in me since birth, you know, because I'm the leader in my own house. Like I make all the decisions, even any color and stuff like that. So they listen to me. I made my point that I'm a creative person. I know dancing. I know music. I know this and that. And I am a people's person. At that time, I was knowing that I had like so many friends, so many groups. So I was like, I can do something creative, and I don't want to do something that is directly coming from the books and you don't have to think the rest of your life. Yeah, of course, there is money, but in the, you know, big surgeries and all. But if I'm not happy, then, you know, and here I can use all my other skills along with my actual healthcare vision and the profession. So how about that is something that I should go for? And plus, I will stay with you and of course, like, I will be happy. That was the most important point. And my dad is like, I'm dad's princess. So, I mean, he was okay with anything that I go with. And he said, and then they did some research about that because it was the first school in my state. So nobody knew about it at that time. So it was 2006. Yes. So nobody knew in my state, in my city, that what is this. So they did some more research. They asked other fellow like doctors and whoever they can reach out to. And then I applied for switching my admission from MBBS to occupational therapy. And that's how how everything just, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I finally did it, but it was tough and it was quite a discussion, but we finally did it.
Well, what great parents that you had that they wanted you to be happy and okay with going against something that traditionally, you know, didn't take place, where people would, you know, switch and do something that would be considered less on that hierarchy. And speaking of parenting, I forgot to say this in the bio. You got this cute little daughter on Instagram who was at the business fair. That's how we've actually connected, everyone. I was looking at her daughter on Instagram at the business fair, and it took me back because I am a strong advocate for entrepreneurship. And so I talk to my kids about it as well. And of course, I want them to be happy too, but I definitely want them to be aware of the options and the freedom and all the different benefits that you can get from entrepreneurship. So I've been teaching them at a very young age. So my older son did a business fair when he was younger, and he did shoes. And then my younger son, I mean, he was making money with this sweet lemonade that he made.
Yes.
And I mean, he started to really enjoy that fair every year before the pandemic. So when I saw your daughter, I was like, oh, wow, awesome that you are introducing your daughter to this. And I saw her with the dollars in her hand, and it was just inspiring to see that you are instilling that in the next generation. So let's talk about you as an entrepreneur, because you got entrepreneur roles. I want to talk about OT Park. Can you tell us more about how did you become an entrepreneur? Did you work as an employee first, or did you know from the beginning that you were going to be an entrepreneur? And why did you choose this this innovative path of OT Park and telehealth?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. I love that. And that will maybe help me to dig back into my own. So about entrepreneurship, when I completed my bachelor's school in India, my bachelor's of occupational therapy, then I joined a clinic, neurology clinic soon after. And within 2 years, I made some contacts. And one of the pediatrician of the city who was a very well-known pediatrician, because she was the only one who was sending all the pediatric clients to these clinics for neurological cases and autism and cerebral palsy related. So she was moving from her old clinic to the new one, and where she wanted me to be an OT, and she was buying this whole floor of the whole apartment. So upper side she wanted to be her clinic, and the down floor should be my OT thing, and I should be working under her, but all the clients should go in her own hospital, and I should be the OT, and we also discuss some partnerships and all. But then down the road, within 6 months, I got married and I had to come here. Of course, I married with my love of my life. We were on long distance relationships, so this day someday had to become. But I didn't know that it will happen in 6 months. So I was about to start that, and then I can mentor someone, and they can take my place and stuff like that. Was my plan. But then I had to shut that idea off, and I had to say no to her. So that was the first thing that I always wanted to be entrepreneur of, like in the field of occupational therapy, because I was the first OT in my city, and I was from the first batch of OT in my city. And if you don't open something that is changing lives surrounding you, and you are, and of course you have to, I had that responsibility to create jobs, because if there are no OTs, there are no OT jobs. So you have to be the first one to do something in that direction. So that was the plan. But then years later, I came here in 2000 and I came here 8 years back, 2013. Yes. So I graduated 2011. After 2 years, almost during 2013, I was about to start that, but then I moved here and then I joined my doctorate program. So that seed was always there, because my dad also ran two of his hospitals and ophthalmology clinic. So that was also there. And I also wanted to do something on my own, but here, because of the whole licensing thing, then I had to go through my doctorate because I had only bachelor's. So then when I'm done with NBCOT and doctorate, and then I joined a clinic here during the whole time from 2013 till 2017, I was working voluntarily because I cannot earn unless I have that degree. And so I was working in a pediatric OT clinic. I didn't want to do any odd jobs because I know what I wanted to do. And of course, my husband is very supportive. He's the best friend of my life. So he's like, okay, you can just work for free. Here is your car and just do whatever. So So yeah, so I was just doing that. I was exploring because I had to know what's going on in here and in the new world, how OT works. And I explored that. And then my daughter came in 2017 and she was there in my doctoral graduation. And yeah, so, and then we registered my company in 2018 because he knew this and he knew this also that because of him, I had to come here. Okay. So no, just kidding. But so yeah, so we registered my company. OT Park was the name that was I always decided. And then we registered in 2018. But then 2019 just went by, like life happens and all. And then we were just gradually moving on. I was working actual job with earnings and all. And then 2020 came and then that thing came up again that, okay, now we need to do something because I got furloughed in my job. And I always wanted to do this OT Park, but I had no idea. I just registered the name because I wanted to do something. I didn't know that I'm doing subscription box or my own clinic or sensory therapy clinic or whatever. So then a lot of moms came to me that I was posting randomly. I was doing a lot of activities with my daughter, Mahi, posting her activities. And they started to ping me on my WhatsApp and my Instagram DMs that, what material are you using? Can you share Amazon link? How to do this? My son is 6 months old. What should I do this? And these questions started to increase for like from March to May end of 2020. And then this Entrepreneur Summit came. I heard you where I heard you. Also, like you were awesome in there. So it was very inspirational. Yeah. And so, and then I was like, okay, now it's the time. And I should just put everything in one box, write a book in very easy words so they can follow. Because and before that, I ordered many, many, many other boxes. Those are kids activity based and all. But they were very confusing to many other moms in my community. I just showed them, asked them. I did actual research. I ordered like 15 to 25 boxes, like within that 1 or 2 month span. And I researched them, asked different questions to others, because as an OT, you know how we analyze everything. And then I developed this box that was developmentally correct and activity based, because a lot of moms want to do activities, but they don't have those resources. And if they have resources, they get lost in this Pinteresting moms or like Instagram mom pages and Facebook pages. It's a lot of information and they don't get that what age is right for them, because their kids are growing. And before you reach to that activity, they are posting something new and they're getting lost everywhere. So I started with this plan that how about I write a book in easy words that will tell them that why even you are just stringing some bead and that activity is so important. What muscles does it use? What neurological conditions can be prevented from that? And, you know, all those OT technical stuff in a very easy language. So I started to add that activity and I also started to give high quality materials. I buy from like Hobby Lobby or those great stores from here or Amazon if possible, and add those things and created box. I printed out a book and started in August 2020 finally, and just launched it just like that. And people are liking it. I will start because I wanted to be high quality in material wise, because if I'm doing it with my daughter, of course I'm going to choose something best, and I'm still doing it. So this is how the whole OT Park started. And then of course, as an OT, I want to treat my clients and I want to stay connected with my field, because that is something what I have learned through, I have given my years into. So I'm planning to start my telehealth or actual health therapy, like clinical therapy soon. But right now the box, because it's still pandemic going on and people are really loving the boxes. So this is how everything started. Yeah.
So that's very inspiring. And you know, things are like a circle. Things, you know, the law of sowing and reaping, because you say that you listened to me on the summit and then you were inspired. And then I look at you and then I see what you did in 2020, starting a business in 2020. I mean, that's inspiring. That is a year that many people, you know, and I'm not, this is not to say for judgment for people who made different decisions. I just want to say that for a lot of people, this would be like the year not to take a risk. And they, you know, would have valid reasons why not to do it. And so it's inspirational that you just said, you know what, now is the time. And everything kind of came together. You saw a need, you started filling a need, and you just went for it. So thank you for inspiring me in taking that step.
Yes, it's a full circle. Like you inspired me, I inspired you. Yeah,
that's a full circle. And that's why sharing is so important. It's important mm-hmm. to share what we're doing, because there might be someone listening to this who's like, man, I don't know if I can. We're just coming out of 2020, you know, or getting through the end of the first quarter in 2021. And I don't know if this is a good time. And then they hear hear you and say, well, she started it in 2020. I might be able to do that too.
Yes. And it is possible.
Mm-hmm. So the profession of OT, you know, we're working on the diversity. We've been a little behind there. I think for people of Asian descent, the percentage of people in OT, professionals in OT, are reflective of the general population. But one thing that I've been looking at as I've been studying and learning more about people of Asian descent is how sometimes we lump people of Asian descent into this one big group, and there's so much diversity within Asia. And yes. I'm curious to know, you know, someone from India, what, and I know how dedicated you are to going back to, like you said, your native country and making sure people are educated about OT and what you're doing. Can you talk about your experiences, any challenges, and if you've had challenges, how you've overcome those?
Yeah, I mean, of course, that is so true. And challenges are everywhere and anywhere you can find, and especially with the, when you belong to a specific group of people or people of color, when you, and any diverse, you know, because the thing is that like everyone else, also I had to also, you know, research and work hard to stand on my own feet, keep my ethics like right and move strategically, because otherwise, you know, it's like getting lost is the only option. But when you don't want to do that, you need to move strategically and you need to make those great networks and connections and those things. And being me, I was like always a leader in OT profession and since forever, because I was and I had a name in my city as an OT at that time, even though I was a student and a fresher. But because of the lack of OT, scarcity of professionals in OT, I created such an awareness in my dad's doctor circle or my friends and participating in local events. And so there was a name, but when I moved here, it was zero, you know, nobody knew me. I was totally new. So very first challenge was that to just reach back, because it was like a big cultural change for me. Nobody knew my language also, even though I mean, it's very comfortable talking in English and all, but in my city, I was talking with people in my language. Here, it is only English. So everything was different. That was the first challenge, that to start putting my name out. The very first thing I did was finding my people. And that is not what I'm calling as like any random social things, but I started, the very first thing I did was that I went to OTEC conference, OT Association of California, that is OTEC, that's conference by myself. I'm not a buddy person. I don't find buddies that, hey, if you're going to the conference, I will go too. No, if I want to go, I will just go. So I just drove from here, Sacramento, and the conference structure was also different, because in India, it's like you all sit in a whole big hall and they present papers in front of you. But here you had to pick your presentation, what you're interested into. And for me, it was very easy to pick at that time because I was a student. So I had to only choose the student track sections. But during the networking event, I signed up for that and I met the president-elect of that time, Heather Kitching. I don't want to just pick random people. I just go to the president. So that's what I did. And I told her my story, that I was treasurer in Gujarat State Branch of Occupational Therapy Association, and I'm OT from India, and I'm passionate about this thing. I just told her my little brief introduction, because they don't have time. You have to have your pitch ready. Like within that 2 minute span, I just told her something about myself. And after like a couple months, I got an email from OTEC that, hey, are you interested in volunteering and becoming a volunteer leader at the Spring Symposium? So the conference was in October and Spring Symposiums are happening in March. So I said yes. I said yes to opportunities, and I just said yes to all the opportunities that will help me to move forward and, you know, reduce the, like, you know, my challenges, like to overcome my challenges. And this is how I started to make connections. Then I met awesome Dr. Anwari Zadeh. She's my mentor. I heard her podcast on you. So she mentored. Yeah, I worked with her in her communications committee, because she was at the time OTEC's communication. She picked me from my leadership And we started this Twitter chat for all the OTEC members. And she's a great mentor. And then I met this Dr. Louis Arbit. He was VP. He was vice president of OTEC at that time. So I was just making great connections. So these Dr. Arbit and Dr. Anwarizadeh, they both have like great impact on my me being comfortable in totally new environment and to start making my name out there, putting my name out there in front of people. And Dr. Heather Kitching was, she's also in touch with me. Whenever I'm stuck, I can reach out to all these great leaders of the profession, and they're so ready to help me. So this is how I overcome my challenge, by not giving up, by making good connections. And not, what I say is, I heard no many times too. It's not like that whoever I was picking and they will say, yes, you are the best like that. No, there are many people who told no to me, of course. But it's up to you how consistent you are and how passionate you are and how deliverable you are. Once it's okay to say, yes, I'm best at this, but when you don't deliver that thing, because every volunteering opportunities are voluntary, they don't pay you, but still you have to put those work out. And it is work. It is a lot of work. Right now I'm like doing all these leadership roles everywhere, and you have to be on top of it. So it's not like that they pay you and you are doing it. It's all free. Even AOTA president works for free. So this is how I started to put my name there and started to make my own connections, community. So they started to put my name somewhere out, and this is how I overcame with my challenges. Yeah. And today I would say I'm still a beginner, but I'm at somewhere that at least if you tell somebody that Hiral Khatri, at least they must have some kind of reference about me. So this is what I have created with like a lot of consistency and hard work and true connections. Connection is the best thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of nuggets. So you might want to rewind and take some notes on the nuggets that you just dropped. Interesting thing that you said is in the beginning, you didn't need a buddy. He's like, I got a plan and I'm intentional. And if you're not going to the conference, it's okay. I'm still going and I'll go if I have to by myself. And when I get there, I know that I won't end up being by myself because I'm going to put myself out there and reach out to people and make some connections. And just because this person says no, like maybe they don't want a mentor and there's not a good connection, doesn't mean that there's other people in line that are there to connect with me. And so by you just being courageous enough to say, I'll go if I have to by myself, you're now surrounded with awesome connections. And you're also put, like, you're in a leadership position. So you're maybe a person that people are tapping now and saying, hey, Dr. Kosh, can you mentor me? Or,
Exactly. Because the way I got this, my AFOTA, that is Asian Pacific OT Association's chair position, that I got that from the person whom I met in India for my OT, at the time of my OT admission that I told you, that Dr. Shah, she told me to connect with Dr. Rai in Michigan here, who was in this AFOTA. So I met him. She just texted me, just meet him. And I met him at AOTA, Centennial Conference. And he told me that she maybe may have told something about me to him and whatever. But then in that meeting of AFOTA, he invited me that we are having this next day. So it was Coted's breakfast and then this AFOTA meeting. I got that opportunity. I missed some of my presentations, but I was like, okay, CUs can be earned later. So I just went there. I attended everything and they made me chair of this membership committee. And this is how I got from my connection in India. I'm still in connect with everyone in the through text or stuff like that, even though it's a day night difference and all. But yes, that is very important. And this is how you, and there are very less Indians in such OTEC or AOTA that have actual positions in the leadership committee. It happened.
Mm-hmm. Networking works. Yeah. Networking works, but you got to be willing to put yourself out there. So I think you've given some nuggets about and some advice for others, several pearls of wisdom. But what's next for you? So you've achieved a lot in a short amount of time. What goals do you have next?
I would say I haven't achieved yet everything, but yes. But for other, I have many new things coming next. I might. I can spill beans on a couple things, starting my own pediatric healthcare company that will be telehealth to be begin with. And that's what I have started marketing about. And I'm also writing a book on activities, but I'm still finding a publisher. So just kidding. So yeah, that is what's coming next. And many other things. And in leadership wise, I have nominated myself for a couple other positions and asked my colleagues and my leader friends to nominate me for the same. So I get there. that is what's coming in next couple months, maybe. Yeah.
How can we support you in those roles? So definitely we want to know how to get the OT, like how to order from OT Park, but also like the leadership positions, if there's anything we can do to support you in those roles, please let us know.
Sure. Supporting OT Park and spreading an awareness about my, like whatever I'm giving free for like spreading an awareness, because I'm a blogger too. So I write blog over there on my website. And so because, you know, I give free stuff a lot because not because you get, it's a marketing strategy, yes, but the way I have built up myself is from free knowledge. Like all the mentors, I never paid them anything. And if some moms or parents or OTs need some kind of education or something, this is the best thing I can do. That's why I launched my ebook and my blogs and my Instagram social media contents and all those things, because I would like to give back. And so, yeah, you can just help me with like sharing and help people know my Instagram handle or Facebook. I mean, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, we'll make sure we put all that.
Yeah.
And I describe you as an entrepreneur, but as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking you're a serial entrepreneur. And that's how I describe myself. And I'm listening because you like have a lot of different ideas and you just don't have the ideas. You're implementing the ideas. Yeah. And I like that part of what you do is just give. And I agree, you're very effective as an entrepreneur. Like you said, yeah, it could definitely be part of a marketing strategy, but you're doing it regardless of whether or not you're going to get something back because of what has been poured into you. And so blogs is a way to, you know, provide information, posting, and just sharing. That's very, very valuable. So check her out on Instagram and check out her blog and check out OT Park. Any last pearls of wisdom you want to leave with the audience? A quote or pearl of wisdom to close?
Keep going, never give up. And if you want to do everything, everything is possible. That's what I say. I'm not a believer in niche down and do just one thing. I'm saying that yes, everything is possible. It's just better time management and scheduling yourself. You can be everything. That is what my last pearl of wisdom, that yes, you can do everything. It is possible.
I love it. I wish I had. I'm a music person. So when you said it, I was just thinking, I'm every woman. I'm like, yes, there's so much that we can do. And I think sometimes people they try to figure out like, how is this person doing all these different things? But like one of the keys you just said is time management.
Exactly.
Time management.
And it is possible. And like we are doing so many things as an entrepreneur. People just only see the company's name, but under one company, you're doing a lot of things. Yes. And it is possible. It's not like that. You just are focusing on only one thing. You know what I mean. So be fired. Just be fired. Just do it.
And it drives you. Like I know for me as an entrepreneur, it's like fuel and passion that you to see things that you can create. Because one of the things you said earlier in the podcast is I'm creating jobs for other people. So like this is not just about me. I wanted to make sure that I can also create for others. So in addition to what you're providing for your families, you have future opportunities for employment for others or contractual work or however you choose to structure that. So yes, don't give up. It is possible. Dr. Khatri is living proof it is possible. So that is our show for today. Don't forget to follow. Until next time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.